Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we have assembled here this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We know that he, our elder brother, came in your name, and we've come, Lord, in your name, because we know that this house is first and foremost the house of correction. And Father, we come this morning wanting our souls to be right, for the hour cometh when they which are filthy will be filthy still, and they which are righteous will be righteous still. And so we see that people are to become crystallized in their thinking, Father. And so we pray, Father, that you would help us to never come to that place where we cannot repent. For in that hour that we no longer can repent, that is the hour that we become crystallized like Lot's wife, who looked back and was crystallized into a pillar of fire, or pillar of salt, excuse me. And you said, Father, in Hebrews 6, that there is coming a time when men that have tasted the good word and the powers of the coming age and have received a once-for-all enlightenment, but falling away, you said it would be impossible for them to ever renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Word of God afresh. So watch over us and protect us from such hardening in our hearts. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to continue in our study of the spoken word as the original seed. And I'd like to read from paragraph 15, where Brother Branham said, "I remember one time a man named Moses." Those people constantly, we could call it in our southern expression, they aggravated him, just constantly kept him on the move. Everything was a murmur or complaint and so forth. But Moses, when it come to the showdown, when God said, "Separate yourselves from them, because I'm going to take you and start a nation," Moses threw himself in the path of God's wrath. And he said, "Take me and not the people," that he'd call rebels, rebellion against God and against him. Yet he loved them so much till he said, "Take me and save them." That was Christ in Moses. And if a man, no matter how much some other one would disagree with him, if he doesn't feel that way, then there's a lacking of Christ, I believe. If from his heart, not his lips, but his heart, if he don't feel that way towards humanity. And so we find this morning that the same paragraph we looked at last week, and we talked about this Christ in our hearts, and this morning I'd like to actually look at the thought of from a negative confession to a positive confession. Because I believe with all my heart, if you've got a negative confession, you're not going to be in a rapture. God has no place for negative in his kingdom. Now this morning, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to read verses 9 through 12. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish thinking. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. Now this morning I would like to focus our thoughts on this statement that Brother Branham is making, or had made here, concerning the negative attitude of the people that they had towards God's servant Moses, and his positive attitude that he had in return. And he called that spirit upon Moses the spirit of Christ. So we see two different spirits in the Exodus, one that is negative and one that is positive. And of course, the positive spirit is identified as the spirit of Christ. So what does it make the negative one? Well, you tell me. It's the devil's. The spirit of the evil one. Now, as long as there is a negative, there has to be a positive. There cannot be a negative without a positive. See, because it's the positive that makes the negative. just like the brightness of day shows the negativity of darkness in the night. In John 3:19 it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now notice Jesus said in John 15:17 in his prayer, he said, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Or this before his prayer in chapter 17. "These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And if I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and he shall also bear witness of me, because ye have been with me from the beginning." So here we see Jesus speaking on love. And yet on the same hand, he contrasts that love that we should have for one another with the love that the world has for its own. And in contrast to the fact that the world will hate you, and it hated him because it hated his Father. Now this is important to understand, because it has to do with whom we are and why we act the way we do, and why we have an inner drawing to do what is right and good and just. The Apostle John told us about this negative being drawn to the positive in 1 John chapter 3, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but I'd like to read some quotes from Brother Branham before that. From Questions and Answers, Brother Branham said on 8:30 of 64, he said, "But now this picture is the main thing. Then in the resurrection, those gases and acids and things comes right back into the place and develops this picture again. Now this picture was not taken when you were 16 or 18 or 20 years old at your best. When was it taken? Before there was the foundations of the world, it was put in God's great film. And then only the only thing it did was featured itself here for you to make your choice. See, then you become a servant of God. Him foreknowing it makes him a redeemer, as we brought it been through it. Then that picture is absolutely, this is the negative. The negative part is this life is where you're living now. Therefore, if this is a negative, there's got to be a positive somewhere. And this ain't the real. This is only a foreshadow of the real things that is to come. Now you got it? So I don't care what they do with you, they cannot destroy that profile. That picture in God's great gallery up there, it cannot be destroyed. It's in heaven. You could burn it up, feed it to the lions, do it any way that you want to do it. It'll come forth again just as sure as 2 2's is 4. Just as sure as God spoke it, it'll come forth no matter where you are. Now the thing I want to draw our attention to today is, Brother Branham said, the negative part of life is where you're living right now. But as a Christian, you're not supposed to be focused on the negative part of life. You're supposed to be focused on the positive. Because when the negative is way away from the positive, you can't tell what it is. The hand might look like an elephant. The little mouse might look like an elephant. But the closer and closer and closer it gets to the positive, the more the negative is supposed to come in line with the positive. And if your negative is just negative, 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 you're not in touch with the positive. Either that, or your positive is a negative. Again from the masterpiece, Brother Branham said, so we realize that we're here in a negative form, and as long as there is a negative, there has to be a positive. There cannot be a negative without a positive, see? Because it's because of the positive that makes the negative. Like you had a negative picture of some object. There has to be an object somewhere to strike that lens, or there wouldn't be any negative. So when we see that our life here is in the negative, and knowing that we're in the image of some life somewhere, then we know that there is a positive somewhere that the light has struck, and it's reflected something here on earth. And we are only that reflection. The genuine object is somewhere else. If that isn't, then I'm the worst deceived man in the world. I've spent my life in vain. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's there. That's why we're here. Now in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So John is telling us that we are sons right now, but what we see is not clear to us. Yet we know according to the law of reproduction that every seed must bring forth after its own kind, its own nature. Notice this is like a shadow. A shadow shows you the shape of the object that it's reflecting, but it's not very clear, and it's not the object. It's just a shadow of the object. But the closer the positive object comes to the shadow, the clearer the shadow becomes, and the more definitive the shadow shows the details of the positive. Now let's say you look at your hand and its shadow for an example. As a hand comes closer and closer to the shadow, the more like the shadow it will appear. And the hand said, and John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So you see, he is talking in a type here, and he's saying that although we are now sons, yet it will take the glorious light of Christ's appearing to truly make known what we really are. Why? Because the light's here. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you should be reflecting a positive, not a negative. Your confession should be positive, not negative. If you've got a negative confession, it shows you're not focused on the positive. You're not praying enough. And you're not listening to enough of the voice of God. Now Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 23, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Which means to complete the portion or pedigree of their fathers. And then he told them their father was a murderer and a liar to begin with. So in fact, he said that they must bring forth the nature that was in the seed to begin with. For every seed must bring forth after its kind. That's the law of reproduction according to Genesis 1:11. And in 1 John 1 and 3, we are told that we will manifest the nature of sons of God in the presence of God. And if we're not, there's two things that could happen here. One is you're reflecting a negative because you're not a son of God. You're not a daughter of God. And the other is that you are so earthly bound, so earthly focused, that you're not reflecting the light of the glorious appearing. The judge is here. Every idle word you say is being recorded. Every evil thought that you express, you're going to have to give an account on the white throne. And I've said it, and I've said it before. You say one thing negative toward a brother and sister, it's being recorded, and at the white throne, you will have to give an account. And they will all the saints will be there to watch your evil. And there's no getting away from it. So it's best to get under the blood of Jesus Christ while you can. And to put all your thoughts. Jesus said, let your yea be yea. In other words, let your positives be positive. Don't let a negative thought come out of your mouth. So I hope you can see the importance of the promise of the appearing of Christ, because the appearing is to do something to us that will change the way that we look at ourselves, because we will change the way that we look at Christ. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Brother Branham told Brother Vail, he said, after he was taken to the other side, he said, I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again. Why? He saw the positive in a reality. He saw his body, the negative, laying there in the bed. And as he went higher and higher and higher into that other dimension, he saw the saints that had gone on before him. Their bodies, negatives, were still in the grave. So what he saw was a positive. And after that point, Brother Brown said, I can never be negative again. And the sad thing is that the doctrine will make manifest what you really are, because it is a light. And if you're not getting more and more like him, then you're getting worse and worse. And that is because you are walking under the shadow of the law, and you're legalist. And we know that the law or legalism is only negative and cannot be positive. Now, if you're a oneness or Trinitarian, you are not seeing him as he really is. So this tells us that the understanding of the Godhead is essential to seeing him as he truly is, because if you do not see him as he truly is, you will never know who you truly are. And I ask the question, how can you understand your relationship to God as your Father if you do not understand that the Son of God is your older brother? And if you believe that Jesus was his own father, then you've got a screwy understanding of family. It's like that Kentucky song says, I am my old grandpa. You know, you've probably heard it. If you believe that Jesus was his own father, then you've got a messed up understanding of what family is, because, well, anyway. And if you cannot understand the relationship that Jesus had with his Father, then how are you ever going to understand your own relationship with God as your Father? Now, verse 3, John says, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as God is pure. So there should be a purification coming out of your mouths, because your heart's being purified, not just your own thoughts, not your own ways. No, you don't want your own ways. You want his ways. Now, this tells me that when you see the revelation of Christ and you come to understand who he is and why he's here, then you will come to fully understand who you are, and you will begin to act differently and talk differently and live differently and think differently when you know who you really are. Like Brother Bram told us the story of the slave who acted so different from the other slaves. So they thought perhaps that they treat him different from the others. And they were told, well, no, that's not so. And so they thought perhaps that they fed him different. They fed him better food. And they said, no, that's not it at all. And as it turned out, he acted different because he knew who his father was. His father was a king. He was a son of a king back home, and so he acted like the son of a king. He acted different and held his head up high and did not act like a slave, because he knew his father and who his father was. And that is what Paul was telling us in our opening text. If you've got family that you're not proud of, then don't act like them. Act like the family that you should be proud of. Jesus Christ, your elder brother. In 1 Corinthians 13:9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. It should have been done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, because I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childish thinking. Have we? For now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall we know, even as also we are known. And so Brother Branham said from healing, explaining healing in Jairus, he said, the devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else. Say, some of these days you'll be this, but you are now. Now you are sons of God. Now we're seated in heavenly places together with Christ. Now we have all powers in heaven and earth. See, now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. Right now, we are the sons of God. It does not appear that what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justified. Is that right? Those who he justified, he glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right. We'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Isn't that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection, or what we are here, rather, is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other body's awaiting. So there's either one of two things. Either you are a son of God, but you just don't know it, and you're so caught up with the now, with the negative life that you're living in now, which is for the most part, or you're just not a son of God, period. And you never will be. I'm not saying it to you people here. I'm just saying it as a state of fact. Then what is it that we have here that is the same over there? Notice he said, what we are here, so we need to know what this means. What we are here is a reflection of what we are over there. I do not believe what he's saying is our body here reflects the body over there, but what he's saying is our nature here, our character here, is reflecting what nature and character we are over there. And the Apostle Paul told us in Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Holy, can we say amen to that? Amen. Acceptable unto God, can we say amen to that? How about every word that we say to one another? Can we say that we understand in our heart that Jesus is listening to every word we say? Would we say it to Him? The things that we say to one another. Have we grown cold and indifferent? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the NIV says, which is your spiritual act of worship. And why is that? Because your sacrifice is what you offer back to God. That which He's revealed to you. Therefore, if He has revealed to you that you are sons, and you will receive your transformation by the renewing of your mind, then you begin to act in accordance with the change of the mind. If you say your mind has changed, but your actions haven't, then you're only fooling yourself. You're not fooling anyone else. Paul goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see, when the mind is renewed, it brings with it an outward conformance as well as an inward change of the desires. From questions and answers, Brother Brown said, what you are here, get this in mind now, I'm going to close, but what you are here is a sign that you are something else somewhere. You've always wanted to be in perfection, you Christians. There is a perfection, and that perfection is not in this life. But every man and woman here that is a Christian, every person that is a Christian here now is already glorified in the presence of Jesus Christ, and you've got another body. You won't have some other time you have right now. Right now, there's another body waiting for you if this one should perish. And Brother Branham said, when you're born again, and I've got the quote, he said, when you're born again, he said, that is when your new body begins to grow. And when you add word upon word upon word to this body, it's actually adding cell upon cell upon cell to that body. So I hope we get there with a full body. I'm just joking. Just joking. I'm sure that there's not going to be a bunch of twisted, maimed, and deformed people over there. But sometimes I wonder when I see the way that they're acting in this life and how much word they're able to receive in this life. From questions and answers also, he said, your very life proves what you are, what you are. As I said in the beginning, what you are somewhere else is what you reflect here. What you are, what your celestial or terrestrial body is up yonder, what your celestial body is somewhere else is what you're reflecting back here. In the spirit land, what you are is what you are here. If you're still vulgar-minded and so forth in the spirit, you're vulgar-minded here. If you still got malice and envy and strife, you're in the spirit land with that. It reflects back here. But if your whole innermost being has become cleansed and purged, it shows that you've got a body out yonder waiting that's been cleansed and purged, and it's reacting back in the flesh. Don't you see? See, there it is. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See? And in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36 and verse 26, we read, a new heart will I also give you. Now, if he promised a new heart, then there's only one new heart that we all shall receive. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Also in Ezekiel 11, verse 19, we read, and I will give them one heart. Notice here, God is being more specific in this verse. He says, one heart. So you're not getting a heart, and you're getting a heart, and you're getting a heart, and you're getting a heart. We're getting one heart. And Brother Brown said that heart, that new heart, is a new understanding. There's only one understanding that's acceptable to God. That's His understanding. And you will get a new spirit. Not you get a spirit, and you get a spirit, and you get a spirit. No, that's new desires that go with that new understanding. And if you've got the same heart that He had, the same understanding, and the same desires that he had. Jesus said, my desire is only to do the will of my Father. My meat is to be pleasing to my Father. Then you'll get the same spirit Jesus received, because Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost. So we need to know what that one heart is. And I believe that, as Brother Branham said, so God had to give you a new heart, not a patched up one, a new heart, and that's your intellects that you think with, a new way of thinking. He said, let the mind of Christ that was in you be in you. The mind that was in Christ be in you. We must receive the mind of Christ if we're to receive just one heart or one way of thinking. And from impersonation of Christianity, Brother Branham said, then I'll give you a new spirit. What's that? A new desire. I want to do right. Well, what about when you just want your own way? You know, you're going to be cantankerous and you just want your own way. I'm sorry, but that's not Christ. So it's not Christ, it's the devil. So don't tell me you're not anointed with the Spirit. And you can have the Holy Ghost and still be anointed with the devil. So see, if you receive the mind of Christ, you can't help but to have right desires. Again, from impersonation of Christianity, Brother Branham said, then notice the order of the Scripture. After you receive a new heart and a new spirit, then he said, I'll put my spirit. Oh, what? That's what the Scripture says here. That's the order, the pneumatic and numerical order of the Scripture. A new heart, a new spirit, and then my spirit. So you see, if God promised to give us one heart or one mind, it has to be the mind of Christ. For Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish all that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. So we see that it is necessary to have the mind of Christ if we are to understand the thoughts of the Father. Now I'm getting back to this thought of the negative to the positive, and actually that is what we've been talking about, because the more that we see Him, the more we become like Him. The hand, His hand, coming closer to the shadowy existence, makes us more like Him. Now, from the message Life, Brother Branham said, but this little mortal perverted thing that you live in, call life, you can take that when so desired. But to show that isn't life, how miserable it becomes. This, what we call life now, is only a shadow or a negative. We all like to rejoice, but we can rejoice over the right thing. And that shows that we're hooked up with the real thing when we rejoice over the right thing. But when we rejoice over the wrong thing, it shows that we're hooked up with the wrong thing. So our life can tell right now what we are, which way our emotions are running. Do you see? If we're rejoicing over the world and the evil things, our minds and our souls are inspired by below. Boogie-woogie, dances, heartaches, drinking, all these things that we run after, it's from below. But if we rejoice in the Spirit, that we have eternal life, and we raise our emotions to God and praise Him, then we have joy. Then we have joy. And Jesus said that your joy might be full, but not full of the perverted life, but full of eternal life above. So you can see it depends on what you look at. And from his sermon, there is a man here that can turn on the light. Brother Branham said, like my hand here in a shadow. It's a shadow. Only it's darker as my hand becomes more. It's a negative here, a positive here. See, positive here, and the negative is the shadow. And as a negative and positive, it gets denser and denser and darker, and finally it claps together. And the negative and positive becomes one. That's when church and Christ becomes together as bride, with the same spirit that was in Him will be upon her. When that church comes from justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost into the last days and honing her down now from for the coming of the Lord, oh, don't be the rough part on it, Pentecostal brother. Shine up with the Word and believe every bit of it. Don't get out into those isms and things as we see going on today. Don't be astonished at that, because the headstone's coming crying, Abba Father, pretty soon. My God, my God. Yes, I believe that with all my heart. Do you see it? You know what I mean? It's Christ now taking the rags of yesterday, the Lutheran message, Methodist, Presbyterian and so forth, and he's putting it through a process. What kind of a process? A process of the Holy Spirit. What they had plus, making it till he is pressing it his own image. When the church in Christ becomes one in union, God grant it, I trust that you'll see it, if you do see it. Now notice Paul tells us the same thing in Colossians 2:17. He says, which are shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. So Paul uses these types and shadows, and he says, you know, a shadow of things to come. And so Brother Branham's letting us know that, see, what Paul's talking about is the shadow is the negative. And you're living now in a negative world. And you're living now in a negative life. But this negative should be, if we're born again, it should be reflecting the positive where we're going. And if it's not, I pity you. It's like they say, you know, that, to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. You know, the other expression is that things can't make you happy. You've got to be happy within. In fact, I think that things can make you more miserable than happy. And we also see a glimpse in Matthew 4, verse 16. It says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Darkness is their shadow. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. You see, this life is just a life of death, because that's where its goal is. That's where its ultimate aim is, in the natural. But when you're born again, that's not the natural aim. That's not, you have a supernatural aim. And Romans 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And Philippians 3, 21 says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Our vile body. Your body is vile. You know what the word vile means? Steve, I think you know what it means.
Unclean, dirty.
Yeah, unclean, dirty. That's what God thinks of your body. It's just an animal running around here. The only difference is you have a soul. So what do you put all the pomp and ceremony, like Brother Bram said, you pamper this body with hundreds of dollars of clothing and all kinds of things, and yet you neglect your soul. Again, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Word, Spirit of the Lord. How's that happen? Open your Bibles. When you find yourself in a cantankerous atmosphere or a cantankerous mood, it's because you're not reading your Bible. You're not hearing from God. You're trying to do things on your own. From God's chosen place of worship. And let me ask you this. What is so important about having your own way that you throw away a rapture for it? I ask the question. What is so great about having your way that you throw yourself out of the light of God? That you throw away a rapture? That you throw away conformity to the image of the Son of God? From God's chosen place of worship, Brother Bram said, now, when a shadow comes across the floor, you can tell whether it's a man, woman, or beast, or whatever it might be, because it casts a shadow upon the floor. And as that shadow gets shorter, the shadow being the negative, and there cannot be a negative without a positive. Therefore, when the positive becomes closer to the negative is swallowed up in the positive. Do you hear me? The shadow and the positive comes together, and that's what makes it then a positive. And if the Old Testament, the things in the Bible said in the Old Testament was shadows of things to come, then therefore Christ was the shadow of things to come. So we can see by the Old Testament types where he chose to put his name and to where now. Now as the shadow crosses the floor, I said, is in the negative, being a type, so we the worshiper also can see the shadows of the Old Testament fading into the positive of the new. Now all the feasts, the holidays, all the tabernacles, all the wood, everything in the tabernacle, everything typed Christ. All the offerings, all the laws, everything was in type of Christ. We've been through it. time after time here at the tabernacle. Then we see that by these that every creed, church, and denomination is left far behind. It's not even in the race at all. Every creed, every church, every denomination is completely left out. There's no place for them at all. The shadow is not the positive. It's supposed to reflect the positive, but it does a pretty poor job unless the light is very, very close. That's why we have so much problems when we see the shadow and types of the Old Testament. We can pick out the pieces that reflect, that we think reflect Christ, because we know what Christ was. But that's why when Christ came on the scene and they didn't know who he was, they couldn't see what this was back here. But when he manifested in all his glory, then people were able to look back and say, oh yes, I can see it here and I can see it here and I can see it in Moses, I can see it in David, I can see it here and there. You see? Hebrews 10 and 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing. You see, it's not exactly what it was. Otherwise, Moses would have been Christ. Right? But he wasn't. He was a shadow. David would have been Christ, but Christ didn't commit adultery. Christ doesn't murder. So there's certain things in that shadow that reflected Christ, but other things sure didn't. For the law having a shadow of things to come and not the very image of the thing can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So if all you are is a legalist, you're living in the shadow. You're not reflecting the positive. From the sign of his coming, Brother Brown said, this stump's grown from Luther to Wesley to Pentecost and now is honing out those Pentecostals and those that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and shall come someday the headstone, Christ Jesus, in these last days. And we'll have to have a ministry just exactly like this whole spirit. As it gets closer and closer and closer, the negative becomes so positive that after a while the negative and positive blends together, the church in Christ, to make one, for we're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, amen. You believe it. It shall be light in the evening time, amen. We're here today, you believe it. Well, Brother Branham also told Brother Vail about 1 week before the car accident. He said, Lee, I have come to the place that all my thoughts are of God. That means that he had become so Christ-centered that he had received the very mind of Christ. And we know that the doxa of Christ is the very opinion, the judgment, the assessment of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There should never be an argument in a home or in a church. You should have an absolute, and that's this word. And if you have an opinion, and you have an opinion, you have an opinion, you have an opinion, if your opinion is based on the word, it's going to be the same opinion. So if you have an opinion, you have an opinion. But the word has a different opinion. Then forget your opinion. It means nothing. Why make life hell on earth when life should be a reflection of where we're going? It should be a positive. Why put pressure about times and places, new moons and Sabbaths and all these things? We should be the most relaxed people on earth. If things get done, they get done. Brother Brown said from the masterpiece, so we realize that we're here in a negative form, and as long as there's a negative, there's a positive. There cannot be a negative without a positive, because it's the positive that makes the negative, like you had a negative picture of some object. There has to be an object somewhere to strike the lens, or there wouldn't be a negative. So when we see that our life here is in the negative and knowing that we're in the image of some life somewhere, then we know that there is a positive somewhere that the light has struck and it's reflected something here on the earth. And we are only the reflection. The genuine object is somewhere else. So what I believe Brother Branham is telling us in this paragraph is that the great appearing of Christ to us in this hour is for the purpose of bringing us into conformity with the mind of God and the image of his Son. Just as the shadow shows the image of the real object, so too the closer we come to Christ, the more glory shall be revealed in us. For we have the mind of Christ, and we know what to do with His Word. In fact, from the spoken word's original seed, paragraph 175, Brother Branham said, "Now notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until He seen the Father, or the Father showed Him first. Harmony between God and Christ, see? John 5:19. So will the bride, and she knows His Word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I got a great big hallelujah. Here is the secret. The Word is in the bride, in the mind of Christ, to know what He wants done with the Word. And she does it in His name. She has, thus saith the Lord. Then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. They only do His will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they'll keep still. Then they will do the works of God. For it is Himself in them, continuing His word to fulfill, as He did complete in His day. All things when He was here, He did not complete all when He was here, for it was not time yet. But it's time now. Now from Jesus keeps all of His appointments. Brother Ram said, just like this, when my shadow here of my hand, if I never seen my hand, seen the shadow of it, it's kind of, it gets pale as it gets away. But as it gets closer and closer, the negative and positive are coming together until they both become the same thing. And that's exactly when the church and the Word has to be one, like Jesus and God was one, just exactly. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, and so will Christ have to be in the church, the anointed of the Word, to make everything fulfilled. And that's the capstone that comes upon the last church age. Not the Laodicea, now, it's a calling out of that, a bride out of a church out of a church, in other words, just like He called a nation out of a nation in Egypt. And now we're living in that day, and we're grateful for these things that we've been seeing. So just as Brother Branham got closer and closer and closer to God, the elect is going to have to get closer and closer and closer to God, or you're going to miss the rapture. I'm sorry, but you're going to miss the rapture. In fact, the rapture's already begun, and you're missing out already. And if you don't come into the shout, under the shout, you will miss the voice altogether. And there won't be time to make up the difference. You get into the message and study it every day. And you pray every day. And you get on your knees and say, God, take out of me the unbelief that's so apparent in my life. Change my attitude. Let me be thankful for every little thing that I have, because I'm telling you, times are coming. They're going to get very, very difficult, very hard. I'm saying this, and I'm underestimating. Brother Brown said, I can't say anything about it. He said, but I wouldn't want to be there 5 minutes. It's going to be that bad. Things are coming. Horrible things are coming on this earth. They say a man without food, in 3 days, he's willing to murder to get food. You're going to see all kinds of stuff going on. You think it's rough in the inner city where a boy has a pair of $100 tennis shoes, he gets shot over them. Wait till they start wanting to eat you too. Because that's what happened in Israel. 1 million people died. And how many of them? They said people were eating their own children because of the starvation. Things are happening in the Muslim world. You know, they've had one tsunami after another. They've had tornadoes. They've had all kinds of things happen over the last few years because they've rejected Christ. They say this time around there's at least 100,000, maybe 150,000 people died. And they said it could be 10 times that number if that government over there doesn't get off their duff and let aid come in. 1.5 million people wiped out by a single cyclone. Well, what's it doing to the crops? That area was one of the harvest areas for rice. It was a great port for rice. The Asians, many of the Asian countries right now have an embargo against selling any rice to other countries. The Ukraine had an embargo against selling any of its wheat. They had such a bumper crop, they decided to let some of it go. But there's only enough wheat on hand for 5 weeks, they say, in the world. You look at the cost of food in the grocery stores. A pound of turkey, $10.49 2 weeks ago. Potatoes went up by 25% over the last 2 weeks. It's getting to the point. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, you can either look at it and get negative, or you can look at it and say, the negative is getting very, very close to the positive, and we're getting ready to get out of here. Now, you think God is going to take a cantankerous spirit in a rapture? Do you think God is going to take a negative thinking? I'm going to show you some quotes this morning where Brother Brown says, you'll never get anything. You'll never get anything from God if you come in a negative way. Well, God, you said it, and you owe me, God. He don't owe you a thing. Get humble before God. From thou, Son of David, have mercy on me, Brother Brown said. And if you come to God with negative thoughts, you will never get nothing from Him. Well, God, I prayed 30 years ago for a certain thing to happen. It still hasn't happened yet. If you come to God with a negative thought, you'll never get nothing. How about like Abraham? Like Brother Branham said when he talked about Abraham. Been 25 years, Lord. He said, and the wife, 25 years, he's not going to... And Abraham said, get the booties ready. Get the Pampers ready. Get the pins. Make sure the bird's eye's ready. It's going to happen. It's got to happen. What about that? What about taking the promises and the things that you prayed for 25, 30 years ago and saying, Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word, like Mary said. Lord, I know, because I know when I prayed those things and believed those things in my heart, I know you have that thing that I've been asking for all these years. I know it's coming. And the older I get, the more I believe it's coming. Because time's running out here. And I know I'm going to have it on this side. From the Queen of Sheba, he said, I might say to this audience. Let me just read from Trumpets give uncertain sound, Brother Bram said. But you see, I'm trying to tell you these things of the earth is shaking. You can't put no confidence in them. They're uncertain. And anything that's uncertain, I'd just rather leave away from it. I don't think that the negative thing, I don't like to get mixed up in the negative side. I like it positive. Be on the positive side. And from the Queen of Sheba, Brother Ram said, I might say this to my audience this afternoon. How many is Christians? Perhaps 95% or maybe 100% raise up their hands. They're Christians. As long as you believe that, all right. But the minute you begin to think that you're not, that's the time you start sinking right there. That's the time your testimony is negative. Divine healing lasts just as long as your faith lasts. Your salvation is the same. Because everything of faith, of God is by faith, and nothing of God can be proven by nature. Look at the whole armor of God is faith. What is the armor of God? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, faith. Just look what goes in that armor. Everything supernatural. You cannot handle it with your hands. You have to believe it. Go down to the store and buy me a quarter's worth of divine love. Buy me a dollar's worth of faith. You cannot purchase it. It's a gift from God, and you have to believe it. You have to believe it. Now, he's talking about when Peter was walking on water. Peter walked on water. He actually walked out to meet Christ. He had his eyes focused on Christ, but as soon as he got his eyes taken off of Christ and on the waves, he probably got splashed or something. But when he got his eyes focused on the circumstances around him, the negative life here, that's when he sunk. He began to sink. For manifested sons of God, Brother Brown said, the thing that I want to try to get to you is this. That a man that is in Christ with the Holy Ghost can bear with a man when he's wrong, long-suffering, gentle, patient, he's sweet, he's humble, he's faithful, he's filled with the Spirit, never negative, always positive, he's a different person. So where does negative come from? It comes from the devil. And don't tell me you're not anointed with the Spirit when you get negative. You're anointed with the devil. From what is the Holy Ghost, Brother Branson, the other night, At around a little after midnight, the wife and I, after setting up and praying and talking to the Lord across this a little footstool in the front room with two Bibles open, we consecrated ourselves anew to God for a complete service, that we would surrender our wills and everything and every negative thought to serve the Lord Jesus. And I trust that that's been your attitude too, that you've done the same. Then, when we're coming together, we're coming upon holy ground among a people who's been praying and fasting and making restitutions and getting ready to receive something from God. And I know that he will come hungry, and I know that he that will come hungry will not go away hungry, but God will feed him the bread of life. Now, before we read from his sacred book, let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. How many is the last time? When's the last time that you've come before God in fasting and prayer? When's the last time you fasted more than 2 or 3 hours? I'm talking about when's the last time you fasted 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Now, I'm not on big fast, long fast, like 40 days. Brother Rand said you can take a spirit. When's the last time you fasted a day or two? Just so that you could spend that time with God. From unity of one church, Brother Bram said, that's what Jesus said. These signs shall follow them that believe, not negative thinkers. Not intellectual church members, but born-again believers, who's come from the intellectual to the heart, where God takes his throne in his control room to control your emotions, control your faith, control your character. God has no place for negative thinking in his kingdom. No place at all. From greater than Solomon is here. Brother Ram said, keep thinking that. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. You cannot get away from God with a negative, you cannot get anything from God with a negative thought. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Didn't Jesus give us the little story about the woman that went to the unjust judge? And he said, now if an unjust judge would give it to her because of her continuous coming, don't you think your father would do the same? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What does the word diligent mean? Christina, diligent. Steadfast, okay. Steadfast, in other words, unrelenting. Hebrews chapter 6. So there's no way for you to be lost. You get scared, and that's the reason. A scare. Fear accompanies doubt. Love accompanies faith. I love my Father. I'm not afraid of him because I love him. He wouldn't hurt me. He'll do good for me. If I was scared of him, I don't know whether he'll do this or not. But see, if I love him, yes, Father, I love you. And I know you're my Father and you love me. And I'm not afraid, that you'll keep your word. It's your promise to me. That's the way the Spirit of God does. But oh, if this is and what if this is and see? There you come to the legal side, and you never go to the legal side because it's negative. The positive side is what you want. And from the attunement, Brother Brown said, our own life is a pattern. It's just a shadow, not the real thing. It's the negative side. It takes death to develop the picture. It puts us back in the theophany we come from. Then in the resurrection, we come in his likeness, a resurrected body. What a beautiful, not only beautiful, but it is the real solemn truth of God's eternal word that will be like him. And from divine love, he said, and brother, no matter how much we try to bluff, we're negative without love. Now, what does love do? Love covers a multitude of sins. Can we say that together? Love covers a multitude of sin. So if somebody does something you don't like, forget it. If you love them, just forget it. Let them be what they are. As I tell young couples, don't ever think that you're going to marry this guy and change him. Because you're not going to change anybody. You are what you are by the grace of God. You are what you are. Men see things a different way than women see. Women are very detail-oriented. And the dexterity in women's hands is very nimble. That's why they put women on these lines. And, you know, they can do all these things with their hands. And they're very detailed. Men leave out the detail. You're not going to change that in a man. Brother Branham didn't wear the same... if he was on the road by himself, his wife wasn't there. They said many times he'd have a different coat that didn't match the pants. When he had everything put together right, it's because Meade was there. And I've told people, look, if you don't like the way that you're the man in the house dresses for church, put the clothes out for him. If you don't like the way that they match up their clothes, then put them out for him. They'd be glad to just step into them instead of having to sit there and decide what goes with what. Men don't think those terms. Men do not think in those terms. Get it through your head. Men do not think in those terms. They don't. That's not important to a man. If it's important to you, put the clothes out for the man. That's my advice. From blind Bartimaeus, how are you going to stand on a negative confession? You can't do it. From hear ye him, there's no negativity at all in Christianity. It's all positive. It's done, been paid for. It's finished. From Jehovah Jireh, there's no negative thoughts at all in Christianity. Everything is past tense. It's already finished. So what are we negative about? From Abraham, he said, I'm so happy to know this one thing, friend, that Christianity has no negative nothing to it. It's everything absolutely positive. A man that becomes a child of God has a positive hold on Calvary, and Calvary has a positive hold on him with the assurance by Almighty God, by an oath through himself, that he will raise him up in the last days, take him to glory. There's no ifs, ands, or nothing. It's something that's positive. And from gifts, it's just like with Paul. We're praying for Paul. Don't take a negative thought. Say, God, you gave me this child. I'm believing for this child. I'm putting it back into your hands for this child. Do what you have to. I don't care, Lord, if you have to rip him up and put him on his bed. Get him, Lord, to the other side in one piece and join to the positive. Because this life means nothing. It's just a trial. It's a place of testing. That other side, that's where it counts. And that's my theme, is love, from the message gifts. Law works fear. Law is negative. Can we all say that together? Law works fear. Law is negative. Say it one more time. Law is negative. Works is negative. Say it one more time. Works is negative. But love is positive. Love is positive. See, it's absolutely positive. You can trust anybody when you love. Not because they fear you or you fear them, but because they love you. And that's how I trust him, because I know that he loves me, and it's a love affair and not a works affair, a fear, or if and if and if and if and if and if. There is no ifs with God. God's done it, and that settles it, so love him for it. Why do you love God? Because he first loved you. Perfection, Brother Branham said, now you can sink like a lark and still have hatred, malice, and strife in your body and your soul. You can sing like a lark and still have hatred, malice, strife in your body and your soul. You can shout like, and I don't know what, but you still have it. You can dance in the Spirit, you can speak in tongues, you can prophesy, you can preach any of those things and still have malice, envy, strife in your heart. You as a negative worshiper has never been purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you're walking around in a negative, he says you've never been purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. When we should be thankful, we above all people of the world, we should be thankful for the conditions that we are in. No matter, I don't care how hard your condition is in this country, I want you to sometime, you go overseas and see the conditions, squalid poverty. You don't have to go out and dig a hole every so many months to throw your feces and your urine in. You don't have to try to go lug 5 gallons of water half a mile away from water that's infected with bacteria and hope and pray that there's nothing in it that'll make your family sick. You don't have to swat mosquitoes every night and pray that your children don't get malaria every single day. You've got shoes on your feet, clothes on your back, and you sit and you wonder, wah, wah, wah. Cry, cry, cry. The best dose for any of you is to get on one of these mission trips and come overseas and see the squalid poverty that these people are living in and the conditions that they live under. If you did that, you'd never come back and feel the same about things. You say, what do I need this for? What do I need this for? From blind Bartimaeus, Brother Branham said, don't let that negative thought ever pass through. Don't let it anchor. You can't help it from going through your mind. That's right. But don't let it stop. From blind Bartimaeus said, keep him on your mind. If there be anything, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, the Bible says, think on these things. If any thought comes by, well, maybe it couldn't be so. Maybe get it off your mind right quick. Think on things that's positive. Never let a negative thought pass through. Don't let it stop anyhow, if it does start, if it starts to. Keep your thoughts positive. And from the darkest hour is when Jesus comes. He said, where you see the negative, there's bound to be a positive somewhere. When that negative comes to your mind, you know there's a positive thought. Get that positive thought. Reach out for that positive thought. You can never be happy with a negative mind. From Uncertain Sound, Brother Brown said, David said, I will go fight him, and today I will cut off his head. No uncertainty about David. It was God in him. It was that hidden power, not a bit of uncertainty. All was positive. There was no negative. And from Hebrews 10:1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comer thereunto perfect. And your negative, which is the shadow, can never make you perfect, and it can never make you happy. From the Message Law, Brother Brown said, now, God speaking here of the valley or the shadow rather, the law being a shadow of good things to come, could never make the worshiper perfect. Then he goes on to show what the perfection is. Now, it's a strange thing that this is so much thought of people that they say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. That's just what the devil wants you to say. You're just talking his language right then. See? You mustn't never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. I am saved. I have God in my heart. I believe Him with all my heart. Do you believe in divine healing? With all my heart. Let your testimony always and your thoughts, everything. Never permit a negative thought to come into your mind if you can help it. When it starts that, don't entertain it. Well, you say, I can't help the thoughts from coming. Well, that'll be like the farmer that said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place, but it could sure stop them from roosting. He got out the shotgun. So get out your shotgun, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and give the devil a whack. So that's a good thing. You see, you can't help the thoughts from coming when they do, but don't entertain them. Just pass it on. No, sir, Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God. And I'm going to keep them. I'm going to testify of them. And God can only bless you as you confess what He has done for you. See? He's the high priest of our confession. Is that right? Hebrews 3. He said that He's the high priest of our confession. He can only do for us as we accept it and believe it and confess it. So instead of saying, well, God, I prayed for 30 years and it hasn't happened yet. No, you're praying wrong. Say, God, I've been praying 30 years and I know it's coming. I know you've already given it to me. I'm just waiting to open my eyes that I can see it. And from Dr. Moses, he said, now my work for the Lord is to try to bring that person up to this level where their faith becomes not negative but positive. That's what Brother Brown's ministry was about. Trying to get us into a positive. From Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, even if they're just a little bit of virtue, if there be any praise, just even if there's just a little bit of praise, think on these things. And James 1 and 7, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's all positive, no negatives. Colossians 2 and 6, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of new moons or of Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. In other words, those things are negative. And don't let anybody judge you in negative things. In Luke 1:79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Matthew 4:16, well, we already read that. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, not negative. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, that means not negative, positive. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. 1 Corinthians 15:33, he said, be not deceived. That means be not depraved. Or objectively, be not injurious, be not bad, be not evil, be not harmful, be not ill, be not noisome, be not wicked. And communications. Be not deceived, evil communications. Wicked, harmful, ill communications or companionship corrupts good manners. It corrupts moral habits. That's what negativity leads to, more negativity. Positive leads to positive. From Proverbs 13 and 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know where the negativity comes from? You're talking to unbelievers. I don't care if they're family members. That's where your negativity is coming from. From Proverbs 26:17, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belongeth not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ear. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is a man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale-bearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. In other words, takes apart with his lips. One by one, they just nitpick, 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 nitpick. Why? Because they're full of hate. That's what it says. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. And layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. From Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another. What a difference. And forgiving one another. Wow. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. My goodness. Forgiveness? Is it possible? You know what kept Israel from going into the promised land? Their own negative attitude. That's right. And I'm going to keep hammering this through by the Word of God until we all get it. Because love is positive. Love covers a multitude of sin. Proverbs 10 and 12 says, hatred stirreth up discord, but love covers all, A, double L, all sins. Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, it's an abomination to the Lord. A lying tongue, it's an abomination to the Lord. And hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that sows discord among brethren. You know, Israel, they missed it. Because they just looked at the physical. They saw the grapes of Eshcol. They took two men to carry one bunch. Do you realize what I'm saying? A bunch of grapes so heavy on one vine, it took two men to carry it. And they even staggered, the Bible says. They could be 700 pounds of grapes. 600, 500, whatever it was. But what happened? They saw the inhabitants of the land. Oh, these were big fellas. Oh my. They said, we can't take it. And Joshua and Caleb said, we're more than able to take it because God said so. But Israel was not allowed to go in because of a negative confession. And you will not go in a rapture with a negative confession. You better be sold out, lock, stock, and barrel. Live, die, sink, or swim. This is right. I'm going to be positive. I'm not going to let another negative word come out of my mouth. By your words, you're justified. And by your words, you are condemned. There's only one word that justifies anybody, and that's the word of God. And that's the positive confession. Everything else is negative. Remember, the devil does not have a word of his own. The devil does not have a word of his own. He only takes God's word and he perverts it. It was God himself who confused the languages. The devil never gave languages. It's the devil who takes words and makes them rotten and mean and nasty. It's the devil that gives wrong meanings all the time. God is the true etymologist. Satan's just the filthy etymologist today because he will take language and destroy it. And when language has lost its meaning, there's nothing left. Negative thoughts destroy you and those around you, but saying good things builds you up in others. So which way are you going to take? What are you going to do? Be negative and miss the rapture because of a negative confession, or be positive and say what he's already said? And I'm warning you in the name of the Lord, if I am God's servant, I believe I am. And I believe he's vindicated that by taking me around the world to teach. I'm telling you, get rid of any negative confession you have before it's too late, or you will miss the rapture. From sea to discrepancy, I got the dictionary and looked what the word discrepancy means, and it means it's sowing discord or being contrary, as Webster says. Sowing discord, something different or being contrary to what's already been. So I thought the text tonight, I call it the sea to discrepancy, and trust that the Lord will bless his word now as we approach it. You know, you say, well, I have a right to be negative. No, you don't. Brother Brown gave us illustration after illustration after illustration. How many of you have a husband come home faking like he's drunk? You think he's drunk. How many of you have a drunk husband? None of you. What are you beefing about? How many of you are starving because the husband's spending your money on booze? None of you. So what are you grousing about? How many of you don't have clothes in your back? None of you. So what are you negative about? Brother Brown gives the illustration. The man came home with two of his buddies. They'd been out to the bar, but they weren't drunk. They had a few drinks, but they went to the house putting on like they're drunk. And he said, fix me some eggs. Well, she fixed him some eggs. He grabbed the eggs. He threw the plate and the eggs. Broke it. Threw it across the floor. That's not the way I want them. Come on, boys. Just get out of here. They were testing her reactions. You don't think God's not testing your reactions? You don't think the squeeze is going to be about a testing your reactions? That's what it's all about. God's trying to develop the picture, brother, sister, from the negative to the positive. He's trying to conform you to the image of His Son. And so if He has to, He's going to put a great squeeze upon you. So just pray. Just get your own thinking gone. Get the will of God as your great desire, and you won't have much of a squeeze at all. I believe the people that will have the hardest squeeze are those that need the most change. And you bring it on yourself. From taking sides with Jesus, He said, love is blind anyhow to them things. Love covers up a multitude of sin, you know. Perfect love casts out fear and sin and all discord. Love does. And so what did that wife do that loved her husband and she loved the Lord? She said, she started singing, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. 2 Corinthians 4:16 in closing. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And this renewal comes by the word of God living and abiding in us, adding cell upon cell to our glorified bodies. Are you building up that body? Ephesians 4:21. If so be that you have heard of Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, that's your previous behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. Created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We know Your word is always corrective, but love is corrective. Help us, Father, to take Your word, to take heed, for the warning has been sent. A wrong attitude will take us from the rapture. And Lord, we just pray that the attitude that was in Christ would be in us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me.